You're tuned in to the Tin Roof Farm Radio Show, a podcast from Greenville, South Carolina, on all things food, beverage, locally roasted coffee, and craft beer. I'm John Malik, the lesser half of Greenville's best-loved chef couple, John and Amy Malik, and we're broadcasting from our Tin Roof Farm in Piedmont, South Carolina. Thank you for listening, and welcome to the show.
Back in October of 1995, I was hired as the chef of Greenville's Augusta Grill. And one day, many months later, I was looking at one of those glossy food magazines, and I wondered why I always saw the same 10 or 12 chefs in these magazines. And after engaging a little self-reflection, I realized it was because they were cooking with local ingredients and with a regional technique, and that was something I wasn't doing. At the end of the night, I'd pick up the phone and call our produce company, and the next morning we'd receive a load of fresh fruits and vegetables, the majority of which were grown in California, New Mexico, or Arizona. So eventually I sat down with the owners and asked them if we could change the style of food we serve, from a vague sort of metropolitan American cuisine to something more regional, more southern, and use more South Carolina produce. Now, this was not an easy thing to do in the mid-90s. Our state hadn't caught up yet to the Californias and New Yorks of the world, and there was only one farmer's market in town, which is the state market on Rutherford Road. And those roadside produce stands were few and far between. But I was determined to be that chef, and I started reading the South Carolina Agricultural Report, which is a weekly newspaper where farmers would trade tips and technique, and they'd advertise their crops. And after about a year of hustling and calling local farmers, begging for them to deliver to Greenville or driving around picking stuff up, in one glorious week, I had two visitors to the back door of the kitchen. One gentleman with a bushel of gorgeous figs, and another one with so many gallons of stunning blackberries. The blackberry farmer tipped his hat to me and stated, "I understand that you pay cash money for fresh blackberries." Well, when I got home that night, I couldn't wait to tell my wife what happened. It just seemed like the heavens had opened and the sun was shining and I could see a future. Today, many of us are spoiled by our city's markets and the bounty of gorgeous produce that our state's large and small farmers produce. We may believe it was public outcry that created this bounty of local produce, but the truth is that it was spurred on by our state's agriculture department. South Carolina agriculture plays an important role in our state, and most of us don't quite understand how much good they do. On July 1 of this year, in just a couple of months, that role is going to expand greatly when they take over restaurant inspections from the Department of Health and Environmental Control, because that department, DHEC, is being broken up, and their responsibilities are going to be divvied up amongst other state agencies. Now, how is that going to affect restaurants and the dining public? Well, I've got an interview with Derek Underwood, and as I recorded this with Zoom, the audio is not as clean as I would prefer, so no hate mail, please. Let's go to our interview with Mr. Underwood. Derek Underwood with South Carolina Agriculture, welcome to the Tin Roof Farm Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, John. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Yeah, exactly. I tell you, I was at the conference last week. And, you know, I've been a chef for many, many years in South Carolina, and, boy, I've got a soft spot in my heart for South Carolina agriculture, everything that we grow and produce in this state.
It's quite amazing when you look at all the different, the things we do in our state, but not only, the growing the agricultural products, but all the times and the places from the farm to the table where our agency actually, you know, puts our hands on the process.
Yes, sir. I totally agree. So, Derek, how about a little bit of background first? So tell me your official title.
My official title is Assistant Commissioner for the Consumer Protection Division.
Got it. Okay. And so are you a native of South Carolina?
I guess you could say I am. My dad was a senior at University of Georgia when I was born. So officially my birth certificate is Athens, Georgia. I was whopping 3 months there before I moved back to my hometown of Newberry, South Carolina. So even though I had to get somebody to notarize my state residency when I went to college, I am a South Carolina native to heart.
Gotcha. Newberry, that's a cool little town. I have a play a role in the South Carolina Alzheimer's Association. We have that big bike ride called the Ride to Remember.
Yes, sir.
And we pedal through Newberry every July.
Right. That's my hometown. I grew up there. I graduated Newberry High School. When I got out of college, got out of high school, I decided to join the U.S. Navy. I served them as a machinist mate in the U.S. Navy. I was in their nuclear propulsion program. After successfully completed my military obligation, I decided to go to Clemson University. I went there for a whopping 3.5 years. I was a straight through guy. I never took summers off. I wanted to get out as fast as possible.
Oh, rock and roll.
That's right. So yeah. I got my degree in food science, and I got my minor in nutrition and math. So I've got a little bit of knowledge when it comes to the science behind how foods cook, how foods prepare, but most importantly, how to make food safe and the different processing restrictions and requirements to make sure that a food is either canned, processed, made, or prepared retail, and make sure that it's safe and no pathogens, nothing growing in it that's going to cause anybody to have any illnesses.
Yeah. So Derek, any chance that you've ever read Upton Sinclair's The Jungle?
I don't believe I have.
You know, it's about the meatpacking industry in the early part of the 20th century. And that novel so frightened American consumers that the Food and Drug Administration was a direct result of that.
I've heard the stories. I just haven't read it personally. I also worked between my stabs with agriculture. I've left several times and went into private sector. I worked at a baking company that sold nationwide bakery products. I've worked at a statewide food distribution company where I was actually a sales representative to go into these different restaurants and sell to the chefs and the restaurant owners and the operators. I handle mostly Columbia and Lexington, a little bit of Newberry. I did a couple stops in the Greenville area. And then also recently I left, 13 years ago now, to work at a meat processing slaughter and a ready-to-eat facility in my hometown of Newberry, where we had about 3,000 employees, and I was the associate quality manager over the ready-to-eat portion. So everything, once it came out of the oven, the cookers, we called them, until it went into the package. That was my, that's what I had oversight over. So got a great appreciation of what it takes to be successful in the private sector, but also the responsibility of regulators and the government to make sure that those procedures and those operational plans are in place to make sure that the food is, that we consume is safe.
So I love the fact that you've got a minor in math. Right.
Put it this way. I was in engineering to begin with.
Yeah.
And I quite couldn't get past the multivariable calculus-based physics. So I took enough math courses to have to emphasis when I finally graduated.
Well, you know, the thing about math, about teaching people math, is that even if you're a C student, it teaches you discipline, right? To think in a disciplined manner. And I wish everybody was minoring in math. I minored in history. So
there you go. That was my favorite subject, by the way, was history. I took my electives were U.S. history, and I actually took a European history class when I was in high school. That was my advanced placement class. I loved history so much. I took history as electives. So there you go.
Yeah. I tell you, we had one of my favorite professors at Southeastern Louisiana. So the history of the American West, history of the American Civil War with him. And when he would talk about a battle, he would get on this imaginary horse and ride it, right?
Wow.
He showed us how difficult it was to reload a black powder rifle. And then he let some of the students try, of course, not with actual powder,
right.
but as this, one of the students was trying to reload this black powder rifle, he's yelling at them and pretending that they're in a battle so that you could get a good understanding of what foot soldiers in the Civil War or prior to that went through.
That's right. It's kind of like in the movie Glory when they're yelling at the person doing target practice to try to get them to kind of understand and understand what it really is like. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. So I love the fact that you've got a degree in, and you said food science, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Bravo. Good for you, sir. And so what led you to go to work for South Carolina Agriculture?
Well,
it seems like a natural progression.
It does. With the food science degree, so when I got out of college, I went to work at the food distribution company first. And when there was a position open, there's only three food safety officers in the state of South Carolina at the time. And it was pretty much one of those roles to where there was no openings. You had to wait for somebody either retired or left this planet. And fortunately, we had somebody who had retired in the position in Columbia. The Midlands area opened up and I applied for it and was lucky enough to be the best qualified candidate. I got in. And I covered, 13 counties in the Midlands, inspecting all the big food manufacturing facilities, warehouses, distribution, and got really involved with the specialty food groups in our state, folks that want to make a barbecue sauce or make a small, a specialty food item that kind of fills a certain niche in our state. And our agency was the one who actually helped them not only become compliant and follow the rules, but assisted them with their labeling, the picking out of a certain type of kitchen or facility that they were able to use to make sure that the product was made in a inspected and legal and a permitted facility. So it got to really get engaged with a lot of the smaller producers in our state. And
yeah, that's neat.
Kind of a blessing in disguise, because you can kind of see them going from, a small one-man operation to, some of them have had, 20, 30, 40 employees after they
yep.
get in. So
yep.
it was a cool warning.
Yeah, I agree. So so now you're head of consumer protection, correct?
Yes,
no,
sir.
You're assistant commissioner.
Well, okay, so there's three assistant commissioners within our agency. There's an agency operations that handles the stuff like HR, finance, procurement, things like that. We have another assistant commissioner who's over the external affairs and the marketing. So he was the one that was over the program that you went to last week.
Got it.
He's also our person who goes with the General Assembly and talks with them regarding legislative type matters or whatnot. And I'm over the regulatory division. So all the different departments that actually have a law that we have to enforce, consumer services, we're checking the gas station pumps for our weights and measures program, our produce safety department who goes out to the farms and ensures that the produce that's intended to be eaten raw is done in a safe manner. All the way to our hemp farming program, all that falls under me. Our feed program falls under me, but also our current food safety and compliance program that is kind of similar to the stuff we're taking on with DHEC, the different food programs coming over, but it's more of the manufacturing industry wholesale type operation. So there's Department of Agriculture since the 70s have always had our hand in the food safety thing in our state. So we've been doing this for 50 years. So it's not even new that we're bringing over the food safety components. It's just geared more towards the retail side, whereas currently and historically we've been geared towards the wholesale side.
So as head of consumer protection, you're also responsible for animal feed that's produced
correct.
In the state, correct?
Correct. Animal feed, if you get to the store and you buy animal feed for your livestock or even pet food, you look on that label and you see the protein, fat, fiber guarantees or any minerals or nutrients that are present. We go to the feed manufacturing facilities in our state to make sure they're following certain practices and guidelines. But we also take samples of feed that's actually in the marketplace to ensure that guaranteed analysis is true to their labeling. For instance, a lot of people don't understand, we as humans, we get our nutritional value from a wide variety of food. So it's not as critical as an animal feed who are consuming one bag of product from birth to death. And it's very important that everything that animal needs to mature, be healthy, produce the any type of meat or milk or anything like that, they have to have that complete nutritional substance in that one sole feed item. So that's why it becomes real critical in our state to make sure that the labeling is accurate and correct.
Yeah. Okay. So what would you say is your biggest challenge as head of consumer protection?
Biggest challenge, a lot of it is funding. We get a lot of our funding through some of the federal programs that we do work for. The General Assembly has been very good to us by giving us the funding we need to maintain the mandates that we're given. You always hear about unfunded mandates, but we're very blessed to be in a state where our legislature, our House, Senate, and our governor's office have really been supportive of the mission for the agency. So one of the biggest challenges is just to kind of balance all that, to make sure that we're having the correct level of oversight, not being too intrusive. You know, we don't want to, you know, be the government trying to keep small business and keep adding all that different layers of bureaucracy or whatnot. But we do want to maintain an ability to maintain that the consumers in our state are protected, and the food and the feed and the other items that they purchase, you know, whether it be gas or buying something at the store and buying it by weight, we protect the buying public and the consumers who eat the food that we produce. So
yeah,
it's a fine balance you have to do.
Okay. So does South Carolina Agriculture receive any funding from the federal government?
We do. We have cooperative agreements with the FDA and the USDA. That's our prime two folks. So for instance, some of our grading that we do for produce grading, some of that money comes from the USDA. We do a lot of contract work for the Food and Drug Administration. So we go into different manufacturing facilities under their purview. We're commissioned by them to go into these facilities. So we do the work for them. And they pay us, you know, an hourly rate based on the amount of time it takes to do an inspection. Now, we've been good with that, too, because if we go in and do an inspection under the federal purview, we don't we count that as a state one as well. So the industry is not burdened with two or three inspections a year. We count that as one of our state inspections as well. We do that for the feed manufacturing facilities, our food manufacturing facilities. And it's just kind of one of the things that kind of partners with the federal government and the states to provide states income stream and allows us to do the work at the state level that the feds would have to send an employee here from possibly Washington or Atlanta or some other area. It helps us kind of, you know, build that relationship with our firms.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. All right. So all my restaurateur and chef friends, this is why they're tuning in, right?
That's right.
So I got two questions for you.
Yes, sir.
Two big questions. What happens on July 1st? And then after you detail that, let's talk about the changes that this is going to bring for restaurant operators and with respect to the dining public. So tell us what's going to happen on July 1st with respect to South Carolina Agriculture and DHEC.
So the General Assembly passed Senate 399, which broke up the Department of Health. The Department of Health will not exist July 1. It'll be two separate agencies. Different program areas within that agency were divvied up to folks like Department of Natural Resources. Some stuff was given to Veteran Affairs. The Department of Agriculture, we got the retail food inspection, but we also got the milk and dairy inspection and laboratory. So the things that we were good at, they saw that and sent that over to us. So you hear people talking about a merger with DHEC. That's not true. The DHEC programs, the retail food safety program and the milk and dairy programs, are being transferred over the oversight of the Department of Agriculture. So come July 1, we're going to get about 120 of the current DHEC food safety and milk safety employees will be a Department of Agriculture employee then. They will have their ID that's going to show they come from our agency. All the different approaches and the laws and the regulations that they are currently enforcing, all that stays the same. There's not going to be any changes in the regulations. So if a restaurant operator is operating under, you know, the retail set of food codes, that's not going to change when agriculture takes over. It's just more of a process and procedure and centralizing the retail food safety portion now under consumer protection, as opposed to its current structure as being more regionalized.
Got it. Okay. So as far as like a restaurant operator goes, what changes are they going to notice?
They're going to see a different sticker on their door. That's one of the
things. Okay.
The sticker is going to have agriculture on it now as opposed to that. They're also going to we're big on standardization and structure. So one of the things that DHEC is good at, and we're going to reinforce that and expand upon it, is that standardization of our inspection approach. We're in a program now called regulatory program standards that we're trying to mirror all of our regulatory inspection processes, follow-ups, compliance, all that under a standard that's adopted throughout the whole country. The retail side, they're under the same, they've just started the retail, voluntary retail program standards too. Because so I want to make sure that if there's a restaurant operator in Horry County, a restaurant operator in Greenville and Charleston, they have the same set of standards that they have to adhere to. We're trying to take that personal judgment, which I'm not sure if it occurs or not, but the personal judgment as an inspector needs to do something based on a certain standard, not based on what they assume or perceive to be the right way to do it. So I think folks who have chain restaurants throughout the whole state, they're going to see a big change in the consistency and the standardization of our process.
Okay. Yeah. So once the inspectors move over to agriculture, what will their title be?
Retail food safety officers. One thing that we looked at, certain people are health inspectors and they're the food inspector, then they're environmental health managers. And again, we try to be consistent with everything we do. So the retail food folks will be considered retail food safety officers, and they will be structured centralized that they will report through a supervisor who will report through a field operations manager who will report through the central office here in Columbia. Currently, like I said, currently everything is regionalized. So a regional person would report to a regional public health director and so on. And I'm just trying to centralize it to hold, you know, have accountability throughout the entire state and have that through a director who reports directly to me.
Okay. So when I was in Columbia last week at this conference, correct me if I'm wrong, but did you say that DHEC gets 1,000 emails a week or is it a day as far as like complaints?
Yeah, so there's the word complaint might be a little bit of a stretch. It's there's four regions currently based on the information that I asked, you know, how many administrative staff do I need now since we're no longer having regions? No, 14 regional offices are going away on July 1. All these folks will work from their home or work from their vehicle. They'll be field inspectors and all the different complaints, inquiries, questions, industry questions, customer questions. All that will now have to come through the central office and not be through the regional offices. So one of my four regional offices told me that they get about 250 inquiries a week. So, you know, assume that by 4,000, you know, that tells me how many people I need at the central office to have pretty much like a call center or a phone bank type thing. But also a lot of it is electronic. So, you know, just to have somebody to be able to take a complaint or inquiry and be able to disseminate that to the proper area, the proper region to find out exactly what needs to be done. Is it a re-inspection that needs to be done? Is it somebody complaining they got an illness? Is it somebody who's having a water pressure issue that needs to be, you know, temporarily shut down? So I don't know all the details when the what the inquiries are, but about 250 per region or 1,000 a week is what we're expecting to have once everything kind of settles out.
All right, that makes sense. I understand now. So with respect to the dining public, what changes are they going to notice once agriculture takes over this process?
So one of the things they're going to notice is, again, they're going to notice the new sticker on the door. They're going to notice a new telephone number. They're going to notice, I don't think that the rest of the actual consumers are going to notice much anything different unless they, you know, or unless they call here and ask for information. Going from an agency of close to 4,000 to an agency with the transfer folks, about 280. We're pretty intimate when it comes to folks calling in. We can, you know, people can call me directly. It's not like, you know, things have to go through several layers before they get to me. I mean, it's with Commissioner Weathers and his approach to the agency, he wants a warm body to answer the phone and be able to talk to somebody as opposed to it just going through a call database or something like that.
Man, God bless you, Weathers, right?
Yeah, right. You know, that's easier said than done because
I know
our phones are covered. If we have an employee event or something, you know, we usually have somebody has to sit here and answer the phone because the worst thing in the world is to call a government office and be switched around to 10 different people before you find the right one. So, you know, all of our people who answer the phone are educated. They can switch it or send you to the right warm body to talk to. So that's one thing they're going to see from the buying public or from the restaurantees when they go in there. One thing they're going to see, too, is that, you know, if folks who are habitual violators and, you know, they see that they're operating at a C level, but they go through the process of the follow up, get back up to a B or an A. And the next time we go, they get a C again. You know, we have to look at that approach a little bit differently. You know, we're all in, you know, people are going to make mistakes. Sometimes you have things outside of your control. But when you have when you have folks who are operating at a C or below average, you know, there's a potential to get somebody sick. So we want to make sure that our compliance and our enforcement procedures are in place to handle that and actually enhance our current policies of the of what we do when that takes place. So I think the public's going to recognize that the smaller, leaner agency with the Department of Agriculture is going to be able to handle things at a quicker and more rapid pace.
I tell you, there was a lot of overhead at DHEC, correct?
Yeah. And yeah. It's not that they're following their agency.
Right.
Just, they were tasked.
Their mission was enormous.
That's right. And we like to say that the food safety folks that were coming over to us represented about 3% of the total employment for the health department. And when they come mm-hmm. over here to our agency, now 55% of our agency will now be focused towards food safety. So food safety is now that's the wheelhouse for the department. That's what's leading the charge for the Department of Agriculture now. 55% of our employees will be forward focusing on the food safety in our state, whether it be in industry, retail, dairies, laboratory, or whatnot. And that's something that we really take pride in, and we understand that that's a huge task that the citizens are requiring on us to do, but we're up to the challenge. We feel very confident.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. So with respect to dairies in the state,
uh-huh.
I mean, I just know of a handful, but how many cattle dairies do we have in South Carolina?
Oh, well, I want to say it's in the 20s. 28 was coming to my mind. It could be 22. It could be 32. I don't have that number right in front of me. But it depends on what you call a dairy. Is it a dairy a place where the cows are milked? Is a dairy a place where they buy the milk in bulk and put it into the container? So, you know, we got to look at that definition and kind of look at it. I think it's 22 actually places that actually milk the cows. And currently, the health department's dairy division took over that. They did any type of milk dairies, but they also handled any type of grade A milk products. So anything that was sour cream, certain ice cream, cottage cheese, things that had that grade A label on it was considered to be under the pasteurized milk ordinance. Agriculture in the past, used to do the further processed milk product, and we'll continue to do that. So our dairy part for our milk safety department, they'll handle the fluid milk and the grade A milk products. Our current food safety manufactured food group will handle all the butters, the cheeses, the things that are not grade A. So there, you know, we don't have a definite division between those two.
Okay, systems. Understand. So do we have a dairy in South Carolina that produces their own butter?
We have a couple dairies that do their own cheese, and we have some smaller ones that do their own butter. Most of those are like niches, farmed, own farm stores or whatnot. I'm not aware of any that actually makes butter enough to really be able to distribute it outside of a certain little area or geographical area of the state.
So would you mind telling me which one of those dairies produces butter? Because I'm a big fan of...
Well, I will make sure I get that information to you. I don't know the name right now. Hey, after I was in the food safety department. I oversaw that for about 2 years. So I could roll off addresses, contact information.
Right, okay.
Right now, but right now I'm more on the 10,000 foot level, and it's
right.
But I will let you know the ones that make their own butter.
Understand.
Gotcha.
All right. So, So I think that covers all the questions with respect to operators and consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Now a question for you, my friend, do you have a favorite fruit that our state produces?
Well, I'm going to have to say peaches.
Right?
I love peach ice cream. I like peaches and cream. I like just to get a peach and cut it and eat into it. It's mm-hmm. it's real good. And I think this might be the best year we've had because, you know, every year we have scares of frost and the peach companies are getting worried that we're going to have a frost and hurt the peach crop. But I don't know. It seems like we might have dodged that cold snap. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I see a couple more 34 and 35 degree days, but I think we might have dodged that bullet. Our peach producers can really have a real bumper crop this year.
Yeah, that's great news. Great news.
That means cheaper peach prices for me.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
So with respect to the peach crop, mm-hmm. does South Carolina gain peaches every year as far as like the amount of peaches we produce?
That's something that another assistant commissioner would probably have to answer.
Okay.
I don't get into the marketing yep. side of it, but I know that our big peach producers in our state are, that's one of the, we claim we're the tastier peach. We have that on our marketing things and folks swear to it. And we ship them all over the, I went to Georgia one time to get something. I saw South Carolina peaches there. I was shocked, but it's good to see our peaches being sought after throughout the East Coast and the rest of the nation.
You were the number two peach producer in the United States. California's number one.
That's
the
right.
vast majority of their peaches end up in cans, and the vast mm-hmm. majority of our peaches are sold roadside.
That's right.
Yeah. We're lucky to live in South Carolina, aren't we?
We are. We got the peach. I love going to see the peach blooms and the peach blossoms. Me living in Prosperity, Newberry County, I'm just a hop, skip, and a jump to
sure, of course.
Down to the peach areas down in Aiken and all that.
Yeah. All right. So I've only got the free version of Zoom, so we're running out of time here. So I got one more question before we go.
Yes, sir.
All right. You run into me in Columbia. Anywhere in Columbia, you've only got $25 cash in your pocket. Right, but you want to take me to lunch. $25 out the door. Where are we going to go?
Yep. And now we have to say, John, is this going to be? I'll leave a tip, or am I going to
out the door, buddy? Yes.
Okay, so a tip is involved in this too.
Tip is involved. Yeah.
Oh boy, I like Vela's in West Columbia. That's always a good little place. If you get their lunch special, you can get out for about $24 for two people.
Vela's, V-E-L-L-A-S.
That's it. And they're going to be glad I say that. I'm there maybe like once or twice a month. And another place, if you're over here visiting me at the farmer's market, we would go to the market restaurant where I could probably get out for less than $20.
The market?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to either of those places.
There you go. You can try them.
But is Vela's, is it a like a meet and three kind of place?
It's more of a little family type tavern at night place. It's in West Columbia on near Casey.
Yes, got it.
Kind of catty cornered. Well, a little bit closer to the maybe Farm Bureau building in downtown Columbia at Knox Abbott. It's right across from them. They've been in business for a long, long time, and they've got consistent menu, and their food's real, real good. So that would be a place to go. And then the market restaurant, they've been here since we moved our market out here, and it's catered and owned by Dupree Percival, who's had a lot of restaurant and catering experience throughout the throughout the state, so he makes real good high-end food too. He tries to use most of the products that he uses is from the fresh on the menu and the certified SC grown produce. He's real big on that too. So if you go there, you're going to get a lot of the products there that are seasonal and are from our state.
Got it. Okay, I'm going to take you up on that next time I'm in Columbia. I'm going to hit up Dallas.
Please do. I'd love to take you out.
Okay, sounds good. Are we going to go on the South Carolina Agriculture's Dime or?
Go on Derek's Dime. I don't think they let me do that, but I'll be more than happy to take that. I appreciate y'all to do for us.
Gotcha. Well, Derek Underwood, Assistant Commissioner, Head of Consumer Protection, South Carolina Agriculture, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
You bet. And if any of my restaurant operators or chefs, if they have any questions about any of this, where should they address those questions?
They can email me. At it's Dunder, D-U-N-D-E-R, at scda.sc.gov. They can call our number, 803-737-9700. That's our main line. And before July 1st, until we start getting 1,000 phone calls a week,
right?
pretty much call in anytime, and I will return your call. If it's they leave a message for me, I might not be in. I'm actually out the state training, because one thing you got to understand, when something comes under my purview, I don't just take it. I take it 100% of the effort, and I'm out doing restaurant inspections now throughout the whole state to understand what they do, see what they need, see what we can do to help support them, and
gotcha.
Go out some of these restaurant owners too. So I take it to heart, and I want to make sure that the people in our state are very proud of the Department of Agriculture and how attention to detail and how fine-tuned we are when it comes to regulatory and consumer protection.
Yes, sir. Well done, sir. Hey, thank you so much, Derek.
All right, thank you. You take care.
All right. The Tin Roof Farm Radio Show is a production of Jack Russell Social Media, and our music is All Gussied Up by John Starcluster. Thank you for listening.